We're in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to begin chapter 6. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. We've been talking about kingdom living. Here is the constitution of the kingdom of God. This is how a child of the kingdom will live. Now we're talking about heart motives, heart situations. Even though now we're going to look at actions, remember those actions are always driven by something on the inside. What you do is driven by something on the inside. Many times you're not quite sure what it is, but what you do is driven by something on the inside. And that's what Jesus says. So now he's going to begin this way in chapter 6. You watch out for you. He's not talking about looking out for number one. He says, take heed that you... Now here's something you and I want to take heed about ourselves. Take heed that you do not do your alms before men. Alms. That would be the giving of ourselves, whether it's money, whether it's materials, whether it's time, whether it's talent, but it's the giving. We're going to give to the Lord's work. We're going to give so that others are cared for. Now he says, take heed that you do not do your alms before men, to be seen of them. If you do, your Father in heaven will not reward you. Now there are a couple of points there but we don't want to miss. We won't stay long here, but a couple of points that strike me. Number one, Jesus doesn't say, Bob, if you give. Jesus knows that a child of the kingdom will give. So he says, when you do. It's not a question of if. Christians do ask, and I understand why they ask, because I'm human too. Well, part. They ask, do we have to tithe? Now, I know what they're saying. I know they're not meaning that the way it sounds. But the truth is, if you're in the kingdom, if you are His, you will give. Not if. But when you do, you're going to. I just know it about you and me. Once He gets a hold of my heart, I'm going to give. It's true. And I want you to mark somewhere or remember it if you're really good. If you have a good memory, that's okay too. So here. There will always... And how much is always? Always. And how much is that in the original Greek? It's always. Now remember that. Don't let anybody trick you. Listen, there will always, always, always be a reward. Did you know that? Always. And the reward will either come from God or from people. But there is always a reward. Nothing gets left unrewarded. God said so. Now, let me read it to you again. You take heed that you do not do your giving or your alms or your righteousness, some people might say. Take heed that you don't do it before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father, which is in heaven. There will be a reward, but it won't be from God. It will be from the people that you were trying to show. See, there's always a reward, either from men or from God. Now you have to ask yourself, which one do I seek from? The motive is always the issue. Did he say people shouldn't see you doing good things or giving? No, he didn't say that. So don't misquote what Jesus himself says. Jesus said, take heed that you don't do it for that reason. If you do it for that reason, there is a reward, because there always is, but the reward will come from the people as opposed to from God. Now, where do you want yours from? Well, when I was young, I'm still young, what am I saying? I haven't really grown up out of it, but you wanted it from people. You want people to notice how good you are at something, or how talented, or how handsome, or how beautiful, or how whatever you see yourself as. And then God gets hold of your heart, you're born again, you change, all of a sudden He says, now your life needs to begin to change, you mature now, so you take heed to yourselves, that you don't do giving and good things and bless others for the purpose of being seen by other men. The motive is the issue. Or another way to put that is, the motive is the important thing. Notice, no third party ought to ever enter in to your giving. No third party. It's got to be between me and God. No third party should ever enter into your kindnesses or to your giving. It should always be between you and God. I was watching a program one time, and the pastor, and he was dressed nicely, and he had nice things to say. But then there came a time on the television where they were going to pass a collection plate. Now, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not unscriptural or illegal or sin. Of course, it's fine. But what he did was, he said, I want all of you who will give $100 to stand up now. And some people stood up. And then he said, I want all of you who will give $500. You stand up. I want those of you that will give $1,000. You stand up now. Boy, wouldn't you feel a little funny if you were sitting down and three people around you are standing up? You stick out, don't you? And Bob, he's the only one sitting down. What a loser, man. He's so stingy. The trouble with those people that stood up, let's say probably just doing what the pastor asked them to do. But you see, you've now forced them into a position to where they're seen of men. And now you really run yourself into problems. I remember one of the evangelists who has since gone the way of all flesh. He was in a meeting. He said that if you'd give $1,000, he would thank you. If you'd give $5,000, he would pray for you. And if you give $10,000 or more, he would personally shake your hand. I thought, it ain't worth it. I'd stick with the $5,000 if I'd go with anything, because I could use the prayer. The thank you, who cares? The handshake, wow. Just because you're famous. Oh, $10,000, come on. I'd have to get a job. University campus. They needed to raise a little bit of money. Christian University campus, and so they put out an ad in the paper. The whole community, didn't matter, Christian or not, anyone who will donate the money to have this, I think it was called a stone tower. He said, anyone that you'll do that, we will carve your name in stone on that tower. Is that a sin? No, it's not a sin. The trouble is, the guy that gave it wasn't born again, but he always wanted his name on something. So he paid all the money, and his name is carved in stone. Therefore, when you do your giving, your alms, your righteousness, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Truly, I say to you, there is a reward, and that's theirs. They have their reward. Now, what did he mean? Well, he was being a little on the sarcastic end, true, but he wasn't being so weird or out of control. In the temple area, there was a place where you would give money, a blessing box, if you will. We do a blessing box here. And we know that we teach on giving when it comes up in the Bible, and we should give from our hearts whatever God tells us. Well, in the temple area, there was it was not quite a square box like we do. It was rounded, and it kind of went in so you could drop change, and it would all just slide in, or whatever you could put in there. Some people would actually put some food in there at times. And it was bell-shaped, and it would come down like this and then go down to a straight tube. And it looked so much like a trumpet that that's what it was called. It was called the trumpet box. And that's where you went to give money for the temple area, for the poor, so that others in the community could be taken care of. You would drop your money in the trumpet box. Well, the truth is, sometimes the trumpet box is hard to get to. People are standing around giving each other hugs. They're chatting with one another. They're really glad to see each other. And they're standing talking. It's hard to get to the trumpet box. And the Pharisees weren't really getting a lot of attention. And so the truth is, they made themselves little trumpet boxes that they would wear around their necks. And instead of going into the temple area, they decided, you know, it would really be nice to go out onto the streets, as well as the synagogue, and give the money there to the poor, because sometimes it's too crowded around the money box or the trumpet box. And so they would go to a street corner, they would take their little thing that looked like a trumpet box, they would blow on it, it would really be like a trumpet sound, it would make loud noise, and then the poor, or those who were in need, would come to the street corner, and the Pharisees would give. And they were doing it so others could see that they were doing it. They would blow their trumpets so that there would be noise made. Jesus literally says, don't be like that. Why? He says, I know you're going to give. I know a kingdom child, a child of God, will give. But he says, when you do it, don't blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and there on the street corners, that they may be seen of men. Truly, I say to you, there is a reward, and their reward is what they wanted. They wanted people to see them, that's what they got. But when you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What he's saying is, no third parties. This is between me and the Lord. So if I want to give of my time or of my talents, just me and the Lord, I keep it to myself. Did you know that Jesus' ministry, he didn't have any money except some that people gave to him, donated to him. This is God, came to earth, didn't have any money. When they wanted to challenge him on a money issue, should we pay tax? He didn't have a coin in his pocket. I don't even think he had pockets, I'm not sure. He said, show me a coin. I don't have one, but you show me one. Now Judas had some, but he's stealing it, so there's probably nothing. You show me a coin. But you know, he gave to the poor. When did you ever see him give to the poor of that money? You never did. We see it at what we call the Last Supper in the upper room, when Judas leaves and everybody figures one of two things. Why is he leaving? He's either going to get more supplies or he's going to give money to the poor, which was a common practice of Jesus, who didn't have anything. But it wasn't broadcast, trumpet it out. It's not a sin. Please don't misunderstand what's being said here. If someone sees you, even let's say you go to the blessing box and you do want to put in a bag of guitar picks because we break them so often. Now, if someone sees you put that there, that you haven't done wrong. You haven't done bad. Oh, someone saw me. Now my reward is lost. No, no. The idea is you don't do these. It's motive. The issue is my motive. Why do I do what I do? Why do you do what you do? And your Father Because you don't let your right hand know what your left hand doing. Your alms may be in secret. In other words, nobody really knows that that's a bag of pigs. Well, maybe a few do, but you see, your idea is, I'm giving this to my Father so He can use it in His house, in His work, in His plans. And He says, and your Father, verse 4, which sees in secret, Himself shall reward you openly. Do you see there's always a reward when I give to the Lord? I cannot outgive Him. I cannot do it. It can't be done. But there's a reward. Either I get it from people or I get it from God. And you slowly start to learn, when you get it from people, that's kind of fun. That's nice. But when you get it from the Lord, it's always so much better, exceedingly abundantly above anything you could have thought or you could have asked, so much so that it overflows. It's shaken down, smashed down, and it's still overflowing. He just kind of pours it down on you. Did you notice something? He said, your Father. Did you pick that up as I was reading these verses? Didn't He say, your Father? That must have freaked out the Jewish people, huh? They didn't call Him Abba. They didn't call Him that. They called Him Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, the Mighty One. Jesus says, Father. Now there's an interesting thought. How did He become your Father? We talked about earlier, blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember the whole how happy and the steps into the Constitution and into the kingdom of God. How did you get into the kingdom? How did He become your Father? How did all of a sudden you go from being out here and all of a sudden now He's your Father and you're going to be doing things with Him and for Him and by Him? How did that happen? Excuse me. John 1:12. If you're writing these down. But as many as received Him, who's Him? The Son who was sent by the Father. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. How did you become a child of God? By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord. By believing on the Son whom the Father has sent. That's all. You didn't pay money. You didn't become really good. You didn't do it right for one full week and you got through your little trial period and now you're sick. No, you asked Jesus into your life. It was by grace. How did He become my Father? Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And now, I'm a child of God in the kingdom. And He says, now, once you're a child, once you're my child, this is how the hypocrites do it, but this is how I want you to do it, Bob. What's a hypocrite? The word? In our language, translated from the Greek into our language, means an actor on a stage, a play actor. They would use masks. So that, and the mask would have really super large frowns or really super large smiles so that if you sat way, way, way at the top of these Colosseums, you could still see that face that they were. So sometimes they would change masks and they put on one and now they're happy and the music goes on and they put the other, oh, they must be sad now. You could see it from far away, but they were play acting. This wasn't real. This wasn't their real face. This was the faces they put on. We get our words or the term or the idea two-faced from those actors themselves. Some of them were more than two-faced. Some of them would have little things that they would grab and they would be three-faced and four-faced, but it was never their real face. And they did it and earned money at it. So when God says hypocrites, He's saying play actors, actors on the stage. They're not really what they seem. They're not really what they are. You're not seeing the real thing. You're not seeing the real face. Don't be like that. When you give, give from your heart. Give for the right motives, and that's that God would be blessed. That's what He says. That's different to me. I have to learn now, all over again, how to do it. And I also have to learn how not to worry about what if I do give to Him. What if I don't have then enough for me? And what happens then? He is going to talk about that soon. We won't get that today, but He'll talk about that, and we'll cover that coming up soon after we talk a little bit about the Lord's Prayer next time we get together. Today we'll talk about prayer, but then we'll... So your Father will reward you openly. So he says, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the play actors on a stage. Be real. Be what he wants you to be all the time. Motives. Why do you do what you do? Some people are up in front of others. Why are you up in front of others? Why do you even want to be up in front of others? What's going to happen to you because you are up in front of others? Do you understand that once you step up here, well, except for the parents dedicating babies, once you step up here, it doesn't matter what you're doing up here. Maybe you're going to give announcements. Maybe you're just going to sing, dance, clap your hands. Don't you understand that once you step up here, there is a greater judgment? I don't understand why everybody's so eager to get on up front. Hey, every one of you that stands up front here, you are now under a much heavier category. Who would want that? Who? Some people just want to be seen by others. And they have their reward, others see. But the truth is, all of a sudden it starts coming down on you right here on this earth. Because you get up front and you do announcements. And somebody visits your church, they haven't got a clue who you are. They just know you're holy. If you weren't holy, you wouldn't be giving announcements. And then they see you downtown. They see what you do. They watch how you are. And they think, shoot, I could be up front. I'm just like that girl. I'm just like that guy. Look at that. Look what they do. Look how they are. I could be up there. What are you communicating to them? What are we communicating? What are our hearts all about? What is your motive for doing what you do? You always have to check. Want to lead a Bible study? Why? Want to form a prayer group? Why? Nothing better than prayer. Nothing better than Bible study. Nothing better than being with God. But you better answer before you start. And you better know what's going on inside. Because there will either be a reward from God or a reward from people. You got to decide which one you want. You shall not be as the hypocrites. Now notice this now. We go on from giving of ourselves to those who are in need, to the work that the Lord is doing. We go from that then to prayer. Don't you love Jesus? Look what he says. And when you pray, if you are truly born again, he doesn't say, and if you pray, he says when you do, because a truly saved man or woman or young person or old person, they are going to pray. They are just going to do it. It's going to happen. You'll pray if you're born again. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are. Now you ought to underline that if you're a Bible underliner. Don't be as the hypocrites. Okay, now there's a goal. There's something for me and you to shoot for. When I pray, I don't want to be like the hypocrites, the actors, the play actors. What do the hypocrites do? Well, they love to pray where people can see them. Standing in the synagogues, standing on the street corners, that men may see them. Truly I say to you, there's a reward. Do you understand that there will always be rewards? He's making that very clear. He's going to reward me. He promised he would. I'm not doing these for rewards, but do you understand that if you give, if you pray, not if, when, there are rewards. The goal isn't for me to get them. My goal is to seek the Lord. My goal is to share. But the truth is, rewards come either from people or from him. Get the third party out of the way is what Jesus is saying. You, verse 6 says, when you pray, Enter into your closet. Go away secretly, privately. Now, when I say secretly, if your wife or your husband sees you going into your room to pray, that doesn't mean you've lost a reward. Do you understand what's going on here? Privately. Do you know why it would be privately? Because that is communicating sincerity. I want to get with God alone. That's sincerity. That's why he's saying you go privately. And close the door. When you're all alone, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. He'll answer your prayers. He's wanting you to come and pray. But don't be as the hypocrites do. Hypocrites like people to know they pray. It's just something they like people to know. They like to be known as men and women of prayer. The Pharisees liked to be known as real prayer warriors. And Jesus says, now you don't be that way. You don't be that way. You, quietly, peacefully, go off alone. Pray in secret. It's sincerely there. And your Father, which sees and hears in secret, will reward you openly. Well, then he goes on to say this. But when you pray, of course he knows you're going to, don't use vain repetition. Empty repetition. As the heathen do. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Don't be that way when you pray. Because the heathen say a lot, and they'll repeat a lot if they want, because they think that's going to make a difference. And it is very common the day and age we live in when people will write books on it and they'll tell you, you don't know how to pray. And you know, I disagree. I think you do know how to pray. I think you're being misled. I think you're starting to see something as holy that is not holy at all. I think you do know how to pray. And I think what's happening is you're being taken off from knowing how to pray into the way they want you to pray. Well, you ought to listen to my prayers sometimes. If the word just wasn't in the English language, I couldn't communicate to God. Lord, I just want to bow down. I just want to, just because you're great, what am I saying? I have said nothing so far. He's waiting though. Okay, he's going to come out with it. It's coming. Oh Lord, I just love you, and just because I just thank you. And plus, you ever listen to my prayers? I say his name every other word. I feel so stupid. So I've been listening to how I pray lately, and I think, what a stupid. Lord, Lord, oh Lord. He goes, I'm over here. Oh, Lord, Lord, could you just possibly, Lord. Now, if someone walked up to me and said, Bob, I go, what is wrong with you? Stop it and talk to me. Aren't you glad you don't pray that way? That comes from praying out loud in front of others. Because we don't know how to pray out loud in front of others. We don't know how. We pray to each other. And we pray info for one another. And so we're all going to bow down. Lord, just Lord. And everybody's around you going, okay, he'll get to it. They're not going to judge because their turn's next. And if they're really godly, they're going to repeat everything I said. Lord, we need more room. Oh, Lord, we need more room. Lord, Just. Oh, Lord, just. And we're going, come on. Wait a minute. You're not praying. What's wrong with everybody? Because they don't know how to pray, or at least that's what somebody's telling. You know how to pray. You go all alone and you say, my Father, I need your help. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. I'm confused. I got my feelings hurt. I don't know when to move. I didn't say his name but once, and I haven't used the word just in a whole sentence, and I'm thrilled. Because I don't have to pray to anybody in the crowd. See, we think we're going to be heard for our much speaking. Sometimes I catch myself. I'll be praying, and especially around people. And you pray and you pray, and you've been going 5 minutes. You've said, Lord, in jest. You haven't really prayed, but you've been going a long time now. And people go, oh, I wish I could pray like you. Oh, yeah, someday you'll get there. God bless you. It's okay. Oh, man. I think we need to repent. I think we need to all stop it. Hey, I'm going to tell you something that may shock you. Real prayer warriors, you'll never know it until you see them in heaven. Did you know that? Someone who is a real prayer, you will never have known it until they stand there in heaven and they get the reward. You go, her? Are you kidding? I knew a lady that was always out front. She prayed for every service. She just stood there as the cars went by and she just prayed. Where's she at? In the back. I think we're going to be shocked. When you pray, don't use vain repetition. People think they're going to be heard for taking a long time. Charles Spurgeon, talking to preachers, he said, get your language down to where people can understand it. You want to teach a Bible study? Teach it down where people can go, oh, that makes sense. Teach it down. And he says this, he quoted, and I think of some people's prayers, not to judge them, but I think of some people's prayers. When Charles Spurgeon said, Jesus didn't say to Peter, feed my giraffes. But get that stuff up so high only the really tall are going to eat it. He said, you feed my sheep. And I think when we pray, especially when we pray in groups, pray your heart down there where people can get a grasp of it. Now, my wife and I pray sometimes. I pray with some of you guys sometimes. You guys pray with one of us sometimes. But to be honest with you, when I get serious, I kick everybody out of the room. Or I go and I lock my door and everybody will say, all he's doing in there is sleeping. Fine. Whatever they think, that's perfect. Because you see, if you really want to get serious, go get by yourself. Go get by yourself in that closet. And you'll know how to pray. You watch. You will know how to pray. And if you want to see a powerful prayer, we won't cover it today. We have to stop now. We're going to cover a powerful prayer. Listen, everyone. That prayer is 65 words long. And it leaves out nothing. And it doesn't take you 1 minute to pray it from your heart. 1 minute. Were you to sincerely come before the Lord and pray. Jesus said, pray along these lines. 65 words. I think we're confused at what prayer is. And because we're confused, and because others are making us think we can't do it, we try to work at it. We try to build it up. It's like running. We start at 1 mile, and soon we want to be at 3. And people are looking down on us because we can't make that 3. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, I can't pray. That's the only thing I can't do. Wait a minute. I think you're wrong. I think you could pray the most powerful prayers known to man. Oh, the language may be simple. Oh, and they may not be very long. But you know what? Powerful things come out of a simple statement from when David prays, oh, Lord, help me, for I am in trouble. That's a pretty powerful prayer. Doesn't take long to pray it. But it is true that there will be lengthy times of prayer. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, couldn't you wait with me 1 hour? And so because of that, we have tarry meetings. And if the tarry meeting goes 45 minutes, it wasn't a real Spirit-led. Come on. Are you praying? If you're born again, I believe you are. And I think you've been ripped off. I know He loves you, and I think He's wanting to hear from you. And I know that when you from your heart say, Lord, I just need some help. I'm angry. I've been mistreated. I don't know what to do for work. I have a situation that I don't know how to do it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm waiting on you. You know, you've prayed a pretty powerful prayer there. Lord, I have a friend who is sick. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do, but they're not well. And boy, oh boy, you know, you're saying, Thy will be done. Could you do something? Whatever you do is perfect. We always feel like that it was a lack of faith if we didn't command Him to do it or give Him specific instructions. And instead, we'll see a model prayer. You know, the Buddhists use prayer wheels. And what you do is you pin your little prayer on the wheel, and as the breeze blows it, they believe the breeze blows the prayers around and then blows them to heaven. From the prayer wheel, they'll also have what they call prayer beads. And so you take the beads, and of course you'll say the same prayer so many times, and then you'll do this prayer, and then you'll say the same prayer again. And they think they're going to be heard because they're so sincere about keeping up with every bead. The beads help you to remember. Well, the Spanish priest came along in the Middle Ages, thought that was a great idea, brought it on into Roman Catholicism, and they'll have what they call a rosary. Same idea. You say 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father. Is He listening more because you're taking the time? Well, that's what's being communicated. And then I start seeing the Christian church. We would say that's silly, but all of a sudden, we're starting to communicate that if you're not really working, you're not praying right. Let me teach you how. Like there's a secret power that you can't seem to get to. There is power in prayer, but I know you can get to it. There are no tricks involved. There is no secret involved, except for the fact that you're really privately. When you get together, many times one person can pray and everybody else can say, that's exactly right. And that prayer meeting may not have even taken 10 minutes. You go, well, I was going to pray for them. Yes, Lord. And there's power in prayer. So don't be as the hypocrites. When you give, leave out the third party. Give from your heart, however God is talking to you. And He will reward you. He won't rip you off. He won't let that happen to you. But don't be as the hypocrites. Don't do things to be seen or heard or watched by people. There's a danger in that. And when you pray, open your heart to the Lord. Don't be as the hypocrites do. Don't be a play actor. Pray to the Lord your God, and He will hear. That's the promise. And He will reward you openly. He'll answer your prayers. He'll hear you. Even if you use simple words that you'd be embarrassed to say in front of others, He loves you. And He will listen to you. I hope it frees you up to start to pray even more. To know that you know how. To know that He'll listen when you cry out to Him. Do you have a question? Do you have a problem? Do you have a real need? Do you have some situations that you feel like He's got to direct me? You go straight to God. In Jesus Christ, you go right into the very presence of God. He'll listen to you. He will reward you. He'll answer. Father, thank you.